Welcome to the Grappling Grappling Rewind Podcast.
Welcome to this week on the Grappling Rewind Podcast. This week's show, we are going to recap Fight to Win 108 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, that I got to go to live. We are going to preview the Fight to Win 109 in Baltimore, Maryland, that features some guys from the Grappling Rewind on the card. We are also going to preview Substars. As always, I'm your host, Maine, here with my co-host,
Emil.
How you doing, Emil?
I'm doing great, minus this slight allergy. It might come across as a little congested, but I'm doing a lot better now.
That's good. You on the allergy medicine?
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. I'm on, like, that shit that they put you on some kind of registry for, you know, like cook it into meth or
like,
whatever.
Sir, you've had far too much of this medication. I need it or I'm going to die.
Yep.
And they look at your face, it's all red.
Yeah.
So, dude, this is a good weekend for grappling. Like, I got to take a week off because I got to go to Fight to Win live in Philly on Friday at the 2300 Arena. That was fucking fire. This card delivered.
This is, like,
We'll get to news here in a second.
But this card was stacked, like, all the way down into the purple belts. Like, we had Nick Rodriguez into the purple belts. Like,
yeah.
There's a ton of awesome brown belt matches. Just every single black belt match, basically, which there was, like, half of the card, it felt like. You know, excellent. Excellent card.
It was a great card to watch live. The energy there is always really a lot of fun. And it's only, for me, it's like an hour and a half drive, so it was great. Then I got Friday and Saturday off. Oh, sorry, I got Saturday and Sunday off, which I don't remember the last time that's happened on the show, where we didn't have, like, two or three events. It was great to have, like, cool, I went to go to an event live.
And you get to enjoy
it. And then
it.
I got to take a nap on Saturday and a nap on Sunday, and it was outstanding. So we're recording the show Monday, April 15th, a couple of days after. But I'm super excited for it. So before that happens, let's get into a little news.
Yeah, there's a bunch of news. I think we can start off with the news about Keenan Cornelius.
Seems like it's a bad thing. Keenan Cornelius. Like, so Keenan's leaving Atos.
Yeah, yeah.
And no one has a clue where he's going to end up, which is interesting because there's a couple of things that are, like, going around. It's like, A, he could go to Alliance because they have some history there and that'd be funny. B, he could open up his own school. C, he could go basically anywhere else.
Yeah. I wonder if it's, you know, Keenan has built such a good brand for himself and he's, you know, still a top level competitor. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him open up his own gym, you know?
Well, he's talked about it before. He's talked about, like, opening up his own gym and having his own students. But I think he had talked about wanting to finish with his competitive career before he did that.
I see.
But given he's making the split now, it wouldn't surprise me too much to have him, like, open up a gym now that he's making the big split from Atos.
Right. And, you know, honestly, like, we're entering a time where, like, it's not uncommon for people to leave gyms that they've been training with for a while. In fact, you know, Keenan left Team Lloyd Irvin to go over to Atos in the first place.
Right. I think he left him before that, too, to go to Lloyd's
yeah.
in the first place.
Like, yeah, like, so it's like, you know.
Most guys, honestly, it's really common at the high level for guys to, like, move gyms, you know, a couple times during their career.
Yep.
There's certain competitors that stay with the same gym the whole time, but it's honestly not hugely, like, it's pretty huge news, but it's not really unexpected like, a big guy moves gyms.
And, like, obviously, Atos is, I consider Atos to be, like, the premier gym in terms
yeah.
of, like, the talent that it's pulled together and developed. And, you know, that being said, I am excited because, like, you know, someone's been training somewhere for a while. Sometimes they get into a rut in terms of their game. Going somewhere new, maybe that gives him, you know, new perspective, new game, whatever. New aggression, who knows? Like,
it's really interesting, though. They have so many guys in his weight class for the IBJJF events. I think him, Hulk, Hinger, who else? So, like, four or five guys at Atos that are in that weight class, and Andre likes closeouts. Like, he doesn't like the guys have to fight each other. And so I think that's potentially another reason why he's leaving as well, because now he's not going to have to close out with these guys at big events. I think that's really, he's talked about that before as well. So,
really? Like, that would surprise me if that's, like, a deciding factor in him leaving, you know? Like,
I don't know.
But anyway, we'll see what happens. Like, either way, you know, Keenan's going to put out awesome content and put out awesome matches too. So
yeah,
we're excited for that.
I'm super excited to keep watching him, like, do what he does wherever he ends up.
Yep.
So in other news, there's a bunch of accounts that got taken down this week that are jiu-jitsu related. BJJ Scout got taken down.
Oh yeah. So the BJJ Scout Instagram got taken down. The new account is BJJ Scout has a new account back up. It's BJJ_Scout for the Instagram
yeah,
handle.
I think the YouTube is still there, but I don't know. Hopefully they didn't get taken down as well. But there's been a bunch of other stuff that got taken down this week as well. I think Kanem Asami got taken down and some other stuff got taken down.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm really hoping, like, BJJ Scout continues to put out awesome content. Their breakdown videos are the best of any grappling that I've seen, period. Yeah, and like, they've started to do judo more, they started to do wrestling more.
They started to do judo and show just like horrible people becoming unconscious for like 15 seconds and then judo refs staring at them while they call a medic over.
Yeah. It's
For a reason, I don't know what judo did to BJ Scout, but like the past, I think I want to say like 3 or 4 months ago, they just started posting like videos of judokas getting put to sleep for like 15 seconds and just like there are the chokes in, the chokes in, the chokes in, the person's unconscious, and like the ref doesn't stop it and like doesn't stop it. You're like, okay, and then they get put unconscious and the medic comes over and the ref just stands there. So they posted a bunch of those, so I don't know what judo did to BJJ Scout, but they seem to be on a vendetta and it's been hilarious to watch.
Yeah, well, and BJJ Scout is just excellent at making videos that get me super fucking pumped for grappling and also teach me a ton about really sophisticated stuff, you know. So
I think honestly their Wardzinski, the series, the 4-part with Adam Wardzinski, is one of the best pieces of analytical work I've ever seen.
Yeah,
like it is just a master class in exactly what that guy's game is and how to play it. It's
or
just,
like there's so many things that I can think of, like the
Emil's staring off in space now looking for an answer.
Leandro Lowe passing, sorry. The passing sequences that Leandro Lowe initiates, like just unbelievable, like, you know, tripoding and stuff like that, that requires, like, you see it happen live and you're like, oh, Leandro Lowe's savage. You just see this explosion of movement and BJJ Scout sits there and, like, you know.
He does this, then he does this, then he grabs this grip, and then he's like, here's 8 matches where he does it. You're like, oh, shit, it's not just an explosive movement. He, like, plans this out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's really cool.
Anyway, you know, look for their content on Instagram.
It's great. So what else we got in news, Mail?
Well, big news. Tex Johnson has announced that he's doing inpatient rehab. And
out in New Mexico with his wife.
Yeah, there's, you know, obviously substance use is something that anyone can struggle with. We wish him well with that. There's a lot of speculation as to fallout between that, other things, and the Felipe Pena injury that happened at Kasai. There have been no official statements from Unity or Tex Johnson, so if we get any new information, we'll share it with you guys.
In some other news, I'm going to order some back patches. Some thigh patches, and some, what are the little patches called? Chest patches?
Sweet. So Grappling Rewind patches.
Yeah.
Dope.
Not for sale, because we don't have a store, and I don't know how to sell them. But hopefully I'm going to get like a big-ass one for my back to put on a gi if I ever get to train again.
Sweet.
So that would be great. So I'm super excited about that. That's like not anything related to anyone that is going to hear this, because they're not going to be sold. But we're making them, and hopefully one day we'll sell them. So on to a recap, a fight to win 108 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This event took place on April 12, 2019, and paid at a total of $32,236 in salaries and commissions, and was headlined by Eddie Wolverine Cummings defeating William Woke via decision, and he retains the black belt featherweight title in Nogi.
Hell yeah.
Dude, we already kind of talked about how good this card was. Like, I got to see it live, I got to talk to a bunch of people, everyone was super friendly, it was dope, it was an awesome evening of watching jiu-jitsu. Where do you want to start with this one?
Do you want to talk about like any conversations you had, or you want to jump in straight into the recaps? Why don't we do recaps
first? Let's
do
recaps, because I talked to a shitload of people.
Okay.
And I did that while I was doing match notes, while I was like talking to them, and everyone was super friendly. I talked to a shitload of different people, and my note taking is not great. So we'll talk about who I talked to as we go through. Right. Again, there's so many people I talked to, it's going to be hard for me to remember, like, I talked to this person about this thing.
So we'll start off with the top, Eddie Wolverine Cummings defeating William Woke by decision. This was a great, you know, this is like textbook Eddie Cummings match. You know, like, it's great to see him back competing again. He actually had a video that he posted where he talked about, you know, settling in at Unity, trying to get new matches and things like that.
And everyone's fucking ducking him.
Yeah.
apparently he's cut weight like 4 separate times in the last year, like 4 super fights.
Yeah.
And then people have pulled out, like, week of, day of, and like, now I'm not gonna fight him. And he's like, I've just stopped announcing that I'm gonna do stuff because guys pull out at the time. So William did not pull out.
He didn't pull out, and Eddie looks like he did not, like, skip a beat. You know, he came in hungry and, you know, playing his kind of standard seated guard into leg lock games. And one thing watching this.
Eddie does not want to stand up.
No, he doesn't want to stand up. And, like, there was a lot of exchanges going on, you know, like Woke and like launching immediately for Kimura, Cummings attacking brutal inside heel hook. There was one inside heel hook that he was going for where I was like doing the like preemptive cringing where you're just like, oh, you're about to see a knee explode.
I was standing next to Seth Daniels, the CEO of Fight to Win, during this match, during that sequence, and he looked at me and he's going to tap. And I went, fuck, I would.
Yeah, it was. But I will say William Woke was so fucking comfortable in these leg entanglements, and he did this amazing adjustment where he rotated his knee before Eddie was able to pinch his knees together to kind of lock in the attack, and so he kind of rotated it out. And what was really interesting was he felt so comfortable here and was beginning to posture up. Eddie actually, you know, usually at this point transitions to a toe hold or knee bar, but he was just so, you know, focused on trying to get that heel hook.
That's all you could tell. That's all he wanted in the match was like that heel. He wanted the inside or the outside heel hook. We saw him transition to less stuff, more so than I've maybe ever seen him. He didn't transition a ton in the Canuto match at Kasai.
Yeah.
But like you could tell, like he wanted the heel hook in this match.
Yep.
That is all he wanted. He was not going to transition to anything else. That is what he wanted.
William Woke's initial defense was to rotate his knee inwards, which puts it into a dangerous knee bar position. But it didn't matter. He was able to clear the knee line and then, you know, go on to attack on his own. So, you know, really awesome exchanges back and forth like this. But one thing that, you know, it really occurred to me was, you know, Eddie's game is really good for Fight to Win. You know,
yeah. Because you're not going to get stalling. You're not going to get inactivity. You are, every time you go for a sub, you're racking up points in the Fight to Win rule set.
Right. And, you know, leg locks, I feel like, they require a special amount of attention. Like, if someone's getting you into an arm bar, there's, like, a moment where, like, it's kind of like a tug of war, you know, like, where the defense is, like, you can, for a little while, brute strength defend an armbar.
DJ Jackson, Royal Santana. We'll talk about that
in a bit. We'll talk about that. But, like, you know, a leg lock is very different. It causes you to move and to react. And while you're moving and reacting, that person's chaining on to a new attack. And in Fight to Win, that can, like, I feel like, you know, putting someone back on their toes like that, you can really rack up submission attempts for the decision.
Momentum, I think, is more important in Fight to Win for the points.
Yep.
For because they don't have points. They have submission attempts, and they have judging based on how aggressive you were and how many submission attempts you had during the match. So I think you're right. It works really, really well.
Yep.
And you talked about this a little bit before we started recording, and that's why I stole your shit with, like, yeah, so you change attacks.
Yep.
But a fun match.
Yep.
Definitely worth it. Cummings retains the black belt featherweight Nogi title. They go to decision. Anything else you want to add to the match?
No, let's move on.
It's a fun match. Next match, we have Rafael Formiga Barbosa defeating Daniel Tavares via Ezekiel choke, and he retains the black belt master's welterweight title.
This was wild. So it's Tavares pressuring for 7.5 minutes, like brutal pressure passing, and Barbosa just hits an amazing butterfly hook sweep straight to mount. And just immediately attacks the Ezekiel. It's like, you know, like talk about being dangerous, right? Like,
he's so fucking good.
Immediately sweep, mount, submit.
Yeah.
That's fucking wild.
So I got a chance to talk to Formiga a little bit. He's going to do some stuff in the future that I forget if he told me I could talk about, but we're going to see more of him in the future and it will be exciting. Dude, he's really fucking good. So Troy Everett was like, I was like, you know, talking for me, I was like, I don't know, man, he's like really fucking good, and like it makes me uncomfortable to talk to guys like at the upper echelon really good because I feel like I should know more. And he's like, you talk to him, and he brings me over, and like right after Formiga gets off the stage, like, I talked to Formiga, I was like, okay, and like asked him a bunch of questions, like super friendly. It was just shout outs to Troy for giving me a chance to interview Formiga.
Yeah, we've seen him a lot on Fight to Win. He's fucking amazing.
We're gonna see some cool stuff announced in the near future about Formiga, so look out for that.
Next matchup, we got Maisa Bastos defeating Patty Fontes by decision.
And she becomes the strawweight gi champion, taking it from Fontes there.
Yeah, this Maisa, we've seen her a lot recently, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we saw her at Pans, we saw her at, where else? Was it another Fight to Win that we saw her on?
I think so. Was it Euros?
Yeah.
Was it a super fan? We've seen her, like, I want to say in the last month, like, the last 6 weeks, like two or three times
for sure. And watching her again, she's fucking relentless.
We saw her last weekend, I think, on
Yeah, she had a super fight, right?
On Kasai.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Man, we really should have like a fucking list of the previous week's competitors up here.
Yeah.
We're only 75 episodes in or something like that at this point.
Yeah, yeah. So this happens a lot where we see names and we're like, oh man, I know we just talked about this person, but
the problem
we've
is
also
it happened,
talked about like 200 people in the last couple
that's
weeks.
That's the
so.
Thing. It's like usually on a, if let's say so this week is a light week. Yeah. We just have Fight to Win. There are 35 matches, 70 people.
Yeah. So what you know, Maissa is she's a pleasure to watch. She's fucking relentless. So she gets a sweep and establishes side control and, you know, is just grinding it out and starts to initiate a mount, you know, a progression to mount. And Patty's incredible, too. She scrambles, reverses, so Maissa's on the bottom. And Maissa doesn't miss a beat. You know, like, a lot of people would, you know, they talk about mental toughness where, like, okay, man, I was doing so well. I was controlling this, and then I got reversed. And now I'm on the bottom.
And you kind of have that fuck moment.
She doesn't have that moment. She just immediately starts attacking the back. Like, there's just no stop in her attack. There's no moment where if you are an opponent going up against Maissa, you get to take a break. There's none of that. So
it's that speed. It's that strawweight speed. Like, they can just go. Maissa, I think, really, like shows that. Like,
oh,
the
yeah.
speed of this match is really, really good. Both competitors just pushing the gas.
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely an awesome match to go back and watch. Next up, we have Pete Shoemaker defeating Mike Sanchez by one-hand toe hold.
And that was submission of the night for the black belt.
So this was dope. Pete is passing open guard, and Mike knocks him down. And his foot is kind of like in Pete's armpit, and Pete is this is with 29 seconds left.
Right at
he's
the
just
end.
Like screaming, like ripping it backwards to get the one hand kind of like, it, you know, it looked almost like a straight ankle lock, but it was like twisting.
To me, it looked like a straight ankle lock.
Yeah.
It was
like
a really weird position. You don't see a whole lot of submissions finished from.
Yeah.
You're talking about the one on the knees?
No. This was not on the knees. This is the black belt submission of the night. You're thinking of, I think.
What am I thinking of?
You are thinking of
brown belt submission of the
yes,
night. That's
yeah,
something. Okay.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
I mixed them up.
Yeah. So.
Oh, this. Okay.
Yeah.
I remember this one. Yeah. I was standing on the other side of the arena for this one. And
yep.
So I looked over. I was like, oh, look at that. That's nifty. This is cool.
It's cool because, like, you know, Pete's in this. He kind of deliberately rocks. It seems like, you know, when he's standing past and he gets knocked backwards, it almost seems like he went with the, like, initiation of that sweep to get Mike's foot into his armpit and then just yanks backwards. It looked like a straight ankle lock to me, but they have it down as a toe hold.
Real cool finish.
So, next match, we got Marilo Santana defeating DJ Jackson by decision.
This was a DJ Jackson match.
Yeah.
This is what this is. It's like, guys go, okay, I'm not going to fucking fight DJ Jackson. Get him in the guard.
Yep.
And then it is DJ Jackson attempting to pass.
Yep, this is Marilla's closed guard. You know, Marilla just has him in closed guard pretty much the whole time.
And it's Jackson trying to pass and guys not being able to sweep or submit him from the guard.
Right.
Like, that is a DJ Jackson match, and this one was no different.
But Marilla does something interesting. So he starts to kind of like, in you know, he's in closed guard. He opens his hips up, and then he starts to invert, and then yanks one of DJ Jackson's arms in for an armbar, and he just latches on, and it is fucking tight.
I think it's really interesting because you see DJ pressure super, super heavy into the guard and, like, stand, and he tends to, like, lean his, because he's a shorter guy. He's built like a human fire hydrant, I think is the best way to describe DJ Jackson. Like, he's just, like, a stocky, thick dude, and he leans really far forward into guys, especially because he typically doesn't have a height advantage. And so Marilo like sees this, and like you said, like Jackson is extended with his arms, like pushing him down into the mat and trying to like open the legs, and Marilo loops and inverts underneath him and like just grabs the arm, and it's really like smooth. I was probably like 20 feet away from this match, and it's the movement from Marilo here is just super smooth, super controlled, just locks him in. Both times he grabs the arm on Jackson, it's just the same exact thing. Like, Jackson is doing this. I mean, Jackson does pretty much from the guard one or two passing sequences,
yep.
And Jackson's working one of them, and Marilo just sees it, and both times just rolls under and gets the arm. And the first one looked really fucking tight.
It looked so tight, man. Like, DJ is actually to defend it, lifting Marilo up off of the mat almost. So
I thought he was going to tap because
yeah.
it was his arm was extended and out, and you see him just basically decide to go, no, I'm not going to tap to this, and like just doesn't tap to it, and
yeah.
then gets out. And you're like, God damn, he's tough.
Yeah.
I was, again, super impressive with again, with Murillo's, like, transition here to the arm, because it was so smooth, but also really impressed with, like, just how, like, calm and tough Jackson was here, whereas, like, the arm is extended. Murillo is a monster, and he just, like, calm, wait, pulls the arm out, and continues to try to keep passing.
Yep, so those two armbar attempts were the deciding factor here. Murillo wins by decision. Next up, we have Aaron Morris defeating Andre Bernardo by decision. We have Stefan Plyler defeating Dom Hoskins by decision. We have Mike Padilla defeating Andrew Cockle by decision.
This was a good match. Padilla comes out super fucking, like, Padilla comes out aggressive. And actually, I talked about this after the match. Like, Padilla comes out aggressive usually. He came out wicked aggressive.
Yeah. He starts off with, like, an amazing Kimura trap to take the back. You know, there's an amazing scramble with Padilla shooting in, Cockle hitting a guillotine and, like, getting to the mount. You know, Padilla, like, ends the match getting to mount and doing, like, this amazing switching technical mounts to different armbar attacks. Like, this match is all the fuck over the place. It's awesome.
Dude. It's really funny, though, because I talked to Padilla, and he's like, he comes out real fast, but he's like, I'm in Masters now, man. Like, I don't have that speed the whole match. And you saw him, like, come out super aggressive at the beginning and then tone it down to get, like, more technical as the match came through. Like, more concerned with top position, more concerned with, like, transitions. And, like, at the end, you see him transitioning back and forth. And it was really cool to see a guy like Padilla, because, again, Padilla pushes the pace, to see him come out so aggressive at the beginning and then modulate that, think, okay, I maybe can't get Andrew out of here immediately. I might have to take him to decision. Like, let me conserve and, like, let me be a veteran here and, like, ride the match out. It was cool. Andrew comes out in a rooster mask because his name is Cockle, not Koshal. And we called him Andrew Koshal for about a year.
Yeah.
And then someone was like, hey, just so you guys know, his name is Cockle, like a rooster, not Koshal. Well, so
our bad,
but we got it now though. But now, but coming out in the rooster, like in the giant rooster hat or like rooster mask,
it's
like, oh, that makes sense now. Cockle,
yep,
cool. So that was a fun ass master watch.
So next match, we got Nick Calvanisi defeating Tim Williams by split decision.
Dude, Nick pushes a pace.
You're missing something.
Hey, but fight of the night for the black belts. Jeez, I got excited about seeing Calvanisi because Calvanisi headlined two cards ago, or was the under? He was the co-main two cards ago versus Durino, I think.
Yeah. So amazing fucking takedown attempts. There was an Uchimata, sacrifice throws, scrambles and reversals, like wrestling cradles. What I loved about this match, and one of the reasons why I think it should be fight of the night, was they were engaging on the feet, on the ground, like it didn't matter. And, you know, it was one of those things where the competitors were not afraid to take risks. And if something didn't pan out, they were like, cool, all right, I'll just take it, you know, I'll scramble out, you know, take it back to the feet, get it back down onto the mat.
One of the things I really like about watching Nick is that reason. Like you said, like, he fights on the ground, on the feet, and, like, he doesn't do what a lot of guys do on the feet, like a lot of jiu-jitsu guys do on the feet, is like, I do this one thing or I pull. It's like Nick can, like, you can see he can wrestle, he can do different takedowns, he can do clinch, like he can do a bunch of different stuff on the feet and on the mat. And so at every point in the match, he's pushing the pace because you can see he's comfortable in all phases of the fight.
Yep.
And it always makes me really excited to see him on the card. I think we saw him last time on Philly and then next weekend on Baltimore. So
he's incredible. Tim Williams is obviously a proficient wrestler, and the control in the match went both ways. You know, it wasn't like one person getting it. And so there's one point where Tim actually gets like a wrestling cradle on Nick. And there's another moment later when Nick, you know, like gets into side control and really dominates from there too for a little bit. But in both cases, they're able to initiate scramble. So it's super entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, Nick ends by ripping, just like he's on top, just ripping like a brutal Kimura. You can see him just like every like tendon in his neck just straining to like try to rip the Kimura from Tim out for the finish, and that's how the match ends. And who knows, that Kimura attempt might have been the deciding factor.
Yeah, it was a really close match, but he at the end he's just ripping it. Like, again, deservedly fight of the night for the black belts.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is a really dope card. Like, this is a fun ass card to go to. Philly always brings it. Next match,
we got Jay Cox defeating Gene Berger by decision. Josh Palmer defeating Mauro Conte by decision. Matt O'Donnell defeats Garrett Lavaggi by decision. So, Dylan Royce defeats Enrique Galarza by decision. This was interesting. There was a long passing sequence by Dylan, who eventually gets like a dangerous Darce grip, right? And Galarza is able to... this is nuts. Like, the Darce looked pretty fucking tight. And Galarza is able to... you know, his head is getting squeezed. And he's flexible enough that despite being darced, he starts stepping his leg around to try to take Dylan's back. It was fucking crazy.
Dude, he almost gets there, too.
He almost gets there.
Which is really impressive. I was like, he's not going to get that. And then he steps. I was like, oh, shit. He's, like, getting close. Where
and
he
Dylan,
almost, you saw him address it. Like,
oh,
you know,
Dylan,
okay.
Dylan releases the darce. That's how fucking far over Galarza was getting. Releases the darce and is able to maintain control. But Galarza is able to recover his guard. So it's, like, fucking nuts. Like, I that's an incredibly technical and athletic thing to do on behalf of Enrique, but Dylan takes that decision. John Blank defeats Anton Berzin by decision.
Dude, back-to-back weeks for Thor.
Yeah, dude, we just saw him on Kasai, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Anton seemed a lot bigger in this match. Like, at least, you know, watching it on the stream, it looked like there's a size disparity there.
Yeah.
But Thor took the seated guard and, you know, forced Anton to pass, and I realized, like, We saw a little bit of this at Kasai, but Thor is dangerous when his opponent is passing. Like, he is really good at, you know, like, even if you're almost a side control, he's technical enough and flexible enough that he can take his leg, step it over, start to invert, and attack a fucking armbar. So even though you're the one doing the passing, like, and you are almost in complete control, he will get a fucking armbar position.
He does the fold thing over. Yeah. Like, he does a lot of what we see Tex do, what we see Craig Jones do, which is, like, sit in that butterfly guard and then, like, force you to pass. And there's really, like, one pass that you can do that keeps you safe. And if you do any sort of other passing sequence to get around, like, he has an answer for it, and it's dangerous. So I talked to him a little bit after this match about that, and that's basically was like, yeah, like, once guys figure out the meta, like, you know, it'll be the next thing. But right now, that's the pass that you have to do to get around. And, like, if you're doing something different, like, he's going to invert, he's going to go to the legs, he's going to go to the arm. So it's interesting. It's cool to see Craig, him, Tex, and who's the other guy, like, work that butterfly guard leg lock meta.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I enjoy watching these guys do that.
So, next up, we got our judo black belt match. We had Adam Moyerman defeating Muhammad Al-Ramzi by 2 ippons.
This was a fun-ass match.
This was fucking great judo.
This is what I want to see from Fight to Win Judo.
So, Adam starts off by faking a foot sweep to off-balance Muhammad, and he just fucking launches into an amazing Sotogari. Just so fucking smooth. Both opponents were really crisp. And
dude, the highlights are up on Instagram. Like, go watch this one on either Flow or on Instagram, because beautiful judo attack. I think actually I was behind Adam's, like, family or, like, fans of his, because somebody was talking about judo, and I was like, okay, this one judo match on the card. And they didn't understand the judo rules. Like, wait, you can grab the legs? Oh, it's old school rules? And it was cool to hear him, I think, like, talk to, I think, his family about, like, what the rules were. And they were like, okay, that makes sense. Like, but he had to explain it was old school rules.
Yeah. It was, you know, it was amazing, and it's awesome to see Osotogari being used. You know, I've heard from judo people a lot, you know, that we don't see that. Well, certainly in jiu-jitsu, we don't see a lot of Osotogari, because it's kind of like a day one takedown that we learn. In judo, it's a little bit of the same, where, you know, after a while, people stop even going for it, because it's one of the first things that you learn. So just to see it being executed at the high level is awesome.
And look good.
Yeah, it looked really crisp.
Dude, I think Osotogari is banned in some gyms, because in judo, if you get really good at it, you can basically foot sweep. So Osotogari is that back sweep, basically, and you knock the guy back, and then if you do it, like, really, really well, the person goes from, basically, instead of being flat in the air, they go head down in the air, so they land with their head first. And if guys get really, really good at it, it causes a lot of concussions in the gym. And so there's certain guys in gyms that I've heard about that get really, really good at the throw, and they're like, oh, you can't do this in the gym anymore because you're knocking too many guys out.
Yeah, it's a very violent throw. It's awesome. But the next ippon was great, too. It was just a fucking well-timed, super clean Uchimata. You know, like, they were both doing the, like, you know, grip battling with their hips back, and Adam just launches in, commits, gets his leg in between Muhammad's legs, and lifts up for the Uchimata. So,
yeah.
Great ippons.
It was a fun match. Dude, 2 weeks in a row, we have just outstanding, like, judo matches that end in 2 ippons.
Yeah.
a lot of fun to watch. Definitely go and watch. Again, I like this, the back and forth of the judo. Like, you see, like, constant attacking, and then you see guys, like, throw, and then a throw is defended with another throw. Like, I like the chaining of the throws, and we're starting to see, because we get to see more of it, I'm starting to see more of that, like, chaining of throws and understand, okay, this is how you counter this throw. This is what you counter with this throw. So it's cool to see.
So onto the brown belts?
Onto the brown belt results.
Okay, we got Jack Tankersley defeating Alex Yablong by a split decision.
And he becomes the welterweight gi champion for Fight to Win.
Then we have Daniel Myra defeating John Battle by decision.
And that was Fight of the Night, and Myra becomes the brown belt no-gi lightweight champion, and Fight of the Night it fucking was.
Yeah, this was an amazing match. There's crazy inversions and back takes awareness from Daniel Myra, and you know, Maine pointed out to me earlier that, you know, Daniel Myra trains at Marcelo Garcia, and he's one of Johnny Gripo's like main training partners, and that, you can see,
that's what I heard. Somebody at Fight to Win told me that, and I was like, I can see that.
You could see it because the moment, like, John Battle's incredible at inversions, his guard is really fucking good,
and he subs guys. Like, John subs a lot of dudes, and we don't see him like completely, like, from a positional perspective, he's dangerous everywhere, but we usually see him pushing the pace and on top a lot of times, or like constantly on the attack. And he wasn't the attack here, but we saw Daniel in a number of places, like be able to take John's back off leg locks and be able to like get on top. And it was a really interesting high pace match.
Yeah. And, you know, it didn't matter whenever John inverted or tried to go to 50-50, Daniel was like two or three steps ahead of him, and actually taking John's back off of that. There was what, like, you counted three 50-50 positions?
Yeah, I think there were three 50-50 back. John would go for 50-50, like, he usually heel, because that's, John prefers the heel hook from that position at 50-50. And you saw Daniel, like, address it. And there was a couple of them that, like, got, like, deep. And you saw Daniel address it. He'd fight the legs. He'd stop the cross. He would basically outstep his center leg or his back leg around and then basically 50-50 back take. I don't really know what to describe the move
as. It's kind of like the ninja roll, but like, yeah, once you clear the right part of the 50-50, you can basically execute a ninja roll or something that looks a lot like it and then take the back. And he was able to do that three times to John Battle, who's a very fucking good guard player.
And like a leg locker.
Yeah.
And like, in dangerous, like, you see him like nail arm bars on guys really quickly. Like, we think we've covered him like what, four times in the last like 2 months or something like that. Like,
yeah,
pretty frequently.
John a lot.
We've seen him on finishers, seen him on subspectrum.
We saw John Battle the last time he was in Philly I was able to go too. So yeah, we see John Battle a lot. He's a very impressive guard player and very impressive grappler. Daniel was two steps ahead of him, and at one point even, you know, starts going for a twister off of one of the back takes, which
The commentary was like, dude, commentary, shout out to Jared Labuto on commentary. Man, that guy's a treat to listen to. I was at the event live, so I had to listen to him on the rewatch, like when I was basically got home and rewatched the event to take notes. And man, he was good. And he was like, is he going for a twister here?
Yeah.
And then he was able to get the twister, but it was, again, this is a really impressive match, a really fun back and forth, high paced, deservedly fight of the night for the brown belts. Like,
definitely
just on that pace alone,
yep.
Better get the transitions from both guys. You had submission attempts on both guys. You had Daniel getting the back, John defending the back. This is a really fun fucking match.
Yep. So next up, we have Tim Rocco defeating Daniel Arrowwood by decision. Brian Sheehan defeating Daniel Carey by head and arm choke. Robbie Rionda defeating Michael Short by triangle. Jillian DeCourcy defeating Jenny LaFaro by decision. Ian Stark defeating Sean Karn by decision. Kevin Lynch defeats Jason Patton by ankle lock.
And that was submission of the night for the brown belts. This is the one that I mixed up a minute ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So this was great. Jason actually starts off attempting his own Estima lock, and Kevin basically ignores it and pulls Jason's leg into his armpit for the straight ankle, and then he gets up onto his knees.
So this is a really difficult position to describe. So basically,
so it's basically like a belly down. Think about it as like a belly down
50-50 ankle lock on the same side, attacking the outside, but instead of going belly down and rolling through on it,
he's on his knees.
He just comes to his knees and like hips up into the air into open space.
Yeah,
and
it generates a ton of pressure. Like, that looked really uncomfortable.
It looked like it sucked.
Yeah,
but it's like you almost, I can't recall the last time I've seen an ankle lock finished like that.
Yeah, like I said, I think the best way to think about it is think about a belly down straight ankle lock, and then now think about coming up onto your knees from that position. you're still going to generate a shit ton of pressure. You don't have to be with your forehead on the mat.
And I want to go back and actually watch this again because I don't know. Usually in this position, you'll see Jason, the guy getting the ankle lock applied to him, like belly down or try to roll or push out. And he's not able to do that. He's like, he has his leg trapped.
He might have been trapped. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like got the knee trapped with how he's, with how Kevin is pulling the ankle lock up. Again, really interesting submission, really interesting ankle lock. You don't see a ton. Also, the camera is super centered on the ankle lock, so you can see exactly how it's applied. You can see the hand fight set up. You can see the grip change.
It kind of reminded me of like a pro wrestling finish.
Dude, it looked exactly like one of those weird pro wrestling finishes. Like, oh, the guy can get out. He couldn't.
Can't.
But yeah, it did, didn't it? Because it was like, it was up and it was showy and it was towards the camera.
Yeah.
And just a really cool, like, deservedly submission of the night for the brown belts. I love when, like, weird submissions like this get submission of the night because it highlights, like, okay, this is a weird submission. You deserve it.
Yeah. Next up, we have Amanda Leve defeating Joy Pendle by split decision. So Amanda's the one, we had a Maine put together a really awesome video of her hitting some really beautiful flying arm bars throughout like a lot of her matches. And we saw her shooting those like throughout this entire match.
Well, we saw her actually hit Maggie Ghirardotti with it in the West Coast Trials for ADCC. And she actually won that match and won her trial spot for the women's above 60 kilogram division.
With
off
that
the
signature arm bar.
With that thing she does a lot.
Which,
and
by the way, she hits like all the time in no-gi. This, like, which is crazy. You know, like, I feel like in the gi, I think we talked about this, it's a little bit easier to, you know, you have handles in the gi to kind of like lean back and pull them into you.
You can control the grips with the gi.
But you can't with no gi. But unless you're Amanda Leve.
So. But she throws this in a much deaf. I've watched her, and I've watched this armbar so many times. She's not able to get it in the match.
Yeah.
But the armbar, when she throws it, because she throws it a lot, she like will hold the elbow and then like dive underneath the person and basically use it almost as a throw.
Yep.
And it's really interesting because you don't see. Again, you don't see this armbar hit a ton in no-gi, and it's really interesting to see because Amanda sets it up in the same way over and over again, and she off-balances, she times it with the step, and she does a lot of things to make it work. This is originally supposed to be Amanda versus Maggie Ghirardotti, but Ghirardotti pulled out, I think, the week before, or like sometime earlier this week, so Joy was able to fly in and really take the match on short notice, and that is a tall order.
Yep. Joy also gets like a really dangerous guillotine at some point.
She trains it out for now.
Yeah. Yeah, she's
so that explains a lot. Like everyone at Alpha Male has that like scary Uriah Faber guillotine.
Yep.
And that was, so when I saw her grab that, I was like, oh shit, this is real dangerous, because literally the Alpha Male is known for good wrestling, good fighters, and crazy strong guillotines.
But Amanda's able to get out of the guillotine and actually get a pass off of it. So she takes that, she wins by split decision.
Just split decision. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a straight decision. On to the purple belt results. We had Natalie Boss defeating Andrea Jordan. By Americana. She becomes the flyweight purple belt gi champion. I was looking at it. I was like, I think I read that name wrong. I did not.
This was a fucking off-the-chain match. Like,
oh, yeah.
This was, you know, this is exactly what I think of when I think of, like, ideal purple belt, you know, match.
Yes.
Like, just, like, explosions all over the place.
Dude, I love purple belt matches because every purple belt, for the most part, on Fight to Win is someone trying to make a statement.
Yeah.
Because it's like, cool, I'm not on top of the card. I'm not a black brown belt. I'm not a black belt. Like, I'm a purple belt. I'm super dangerous in all areas.
Right.
But the other guy is also super dangerous. And I still have little pieces and parts in my game that need work and are, like, getting to the brown and the black belt level. So I like purple belt matches because you see that hot, spicy fire shit.
Yes.
And this match, again, deservedly for a title, we saw that hot fire spicy shit.
Yeah. This is, you know, it should be considered like a fight of the night for the overall event, you know, kind of at least considered at that level. So really, really good. Next up we have,
but there was some super like deep submission attempts on Natalie's end. Good transitions. There was some good gi work. Like, I want to highlight like how fun this match was to watch live.
Yeah.
The arena went fucking crazy during this match because you saw like super tight, like almost no gi style transitions in the gi in this match.
Yeah, which it doesn't, usually the gi slows these matches down, but this was not the case. This
no,
was
they,
an explosive they,
you
match.
Saw like it being used to sweep and pull through, and like all the stuff that we kind of like highlight with the hips and no gi was being present here in the gi, and it was a lot of excitement. Next match,
we got Nick Rodriguez,
Nick the show pony Rodriguez.
That's right, defeating Walker Madden by decision.
And he becomes the purple belt, super heavyweight, no-gi champion for Fight to Win. Man, he was on the black belts last week.
He's like 180cc trials. Like, he's fucking amazing.
Nick, the show pony is ridiculous because so Nick Rodriguez, if you don't know about him, go back and listen to it. We have an article on our website, basically, who is Nick Rodriguez. It explains a little about him. He is a collegiate wrestler that got in jiu-jitsu, got the third place at the East Coast Trials, and then won West Coast Trials for ADCC after a no-stripe blue belt.
Yeah, after having trained for like 8 months or something like that.
It was 9 months.
Okay.
And then he's been on a bunch of super fights since then. He was on the black belt card last, because he's technically a blue belt. Like, in the gi, he's technically a blue belt. So, but he won ADCC, so like, oh, you can fight for the purple belt title. And so he fights Walker Madden, who I think is an IBJJF purple belt world champion. Like, in no-gi. Like, no slouch. And you saw Nick Rodriguez just come
crushing
in.
Crushing side control.
And work the takedowns. Like, working the... You saw him doing the guard passing. He's using the body lock to pass the guard. And he... The way Nick Rodriguez jumps around the guard here of Walker is amazing. You see Walker, he almost can cover the space sometimes, and Nick is able to get his legs out and get his hips away and just beat the space and beat the space and beat the space. And he's not beating it by a ton, but Nick's beating the guard by just enough that Walker's not able to ever sort of get back to a dominant position to get hooks in, to butterfly, to elevate, to like get even back to a closed guard. You saw Nick, every time the closed guard starts to get established, you see Nick like disengage and like pass off of it. And it's just super impressive.
And the moment that, you know, with that style of passing, the moment you make a mistake, you know, this a person this aggressive is going to capitalize off of it. And sure enough, Nick is able to wrench an Americana out. And he doesn't get the finish with it, but it looked fucking brutal. And
he hits the back at one point as well.
Exactly. Like, it's the kind of grip that gives him the ability to threaten both a really brutal submission and, you know, also take backs and sweep from there. So
one thing that's interesting is we see Nick Rodriguez in this match do something that we see Gordon Ryan do and some of the other DDS guys do. It's for control on the back. What he does when the DDS guys, and specifically Gordon, you see him do it a lot. When they have the back and they're not completely squared up with the shoulders, like you don't have the chest to the shoulders, you're a little off angle, they'll reach under and grab like an underhook on the far side arm where they don't have the control, and they will put their hands together in a gable grip, and they will palm, they will like force the back of their arm against the back of the opponent's neck in order to square them up and posture them down. And you see Gordon do it, you see Nicky Rodriguez do it, you see a couple other of the DDS guys do it, and it's a really interesting control position that you really see those DDS guys use, and not a lot of other people use it. There are some other instances of using it, but it's really interesting to see Nick pick up that trick from that gym.
Yeah, it absolutely. I can't wait to watch him more and to see him escalate here.
Dude, I got my ADCC tickets. I can't wait to see his ass in ADCC.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So next up, we have Nate Tour defeating James Lyons by decision. We have Justin Lesko defeating Ryan Pope by decision. Will Schluchter defeats Chris Dorsey by decision. Morgan Beverly defeats Colleen Harner by decision.
And that was Friday night for the purple belts.
Kevin Dantzler defeats David Grossman by decision. Corey Nosworth defeats Paul Barboal by inside heel hook.
And that was submission of the night for the purple belts. On to the kids and teens results.
We got Michael Galan defeating Jared Peglo by head and arm choke. And
that was submission of the night for the teens. I was trying to push Emil's mic in front of his face there, and I completely got sidetracked.
That's all good. Johnny DelPercio defeats Devin Tianchi by rear naked choke.
And that was Friday night for the team results. I'm so happy you're back to read the names, man. Like, Austin and I both struggled so hard last week, and it was a rough week for names.
Lena Martinez defeats Peyton Hinkle by armbar. And Justin Pack defeats Christian Matias by armbar.
Go back, watch this event. It was good. The whole thing is up on Flow. Watch it. You watch the individual matches, watch the whole card's up. It was a lot of fun. There's a lot of technical pieces to take away from this match. A lot of people we're going to see in the future. A lot of really exciting, dynamic matches. I really can't stress enough how much fun these events are to go to. If one is in your area, go to it.
Absolutely.
I went to Philly this last weekend. I'm going to Baltimore. Dude, Baltimore's like 25 minutes from me. I'm going to Baltimore this weekend. It's going to be great. So that being said, let's move on to Baltimore.
Let's do it.
So on to our preview of Fight to Win 109 in Baltimore, Maryland. This event takes place on 420. I just can't laugh. It's happening on 420.
Yeah, and like, it also happens in our fucking backyard.
Dude, UMBC Arena.
Maine and I know like half of the fucking competitors.
Dude, I've competed against a couple of the purple belts on this card and won. And I'm like, I could be on this card. And then I remember my back's broken. And I'm like, I can't be on this card. So this event, I'm so happy about this. Like half the guys are going to walk out to like weed songs. Other half are going to walk out to like other crazy shit. I'm so excited. Dude, these events are so much fun. Like I get to go to Fight to Win back to back weeks. And again, I cannot stress how much I love doing this and how much I love going to these cards. So this event is main evented by a black belt, middleweight, no-gi title, number 6 in the world, DJ Jackson. And we saw him last week versus Orlando Medina de Oliveira from Checkmate.
That's Arnaldo.
Yep. What the fuck did I say?
I don't even want to try.
There's a smudge on my screen. That makes sense.
Arnaldo de Oliveira from Checkmate.
There's a scratch on the screen. That's why.
We got co-main event. 155-pound black belt gi match.
Number 2 ranked in the world, Shane Jamil Hill Taylor versus Leonardo Segorio.
That's, yeah, already fucking world-class talent. This world champion, Jamil Hill Taylor.
The current 2018 IBJJF gi world champion. I'm going to see him in my backyard. Actually, yep. I did a seminar with him a while ago. His game is crazy to watch.
Yeah, he's fucking awesome to watch. We've seen him in Spider. We've seen him all the fuck over the place. He's super talented. Him, that could be a headlining match in and of itself.
It kind of is. It's a co-main. We're going to go from the heavyweight guy, the super heavyweight guys, all the way down, starting with the black belts. Super heavyweight, black belt, gi title, Jeffrey Manalanson versus, give me the name there.
Tiago Reynaldo.
We have a 210-pound black belt gi match.
Isaac July Jr. versus Wilfredo Marino.
We have a 205-pound black belt gi match.
Kenneth Brown versus Carlos Eduardo Placido.
We have a 205-pound black belt judo match.
Vernon Kirk versus Keith Barrett.
We have a 200-pound black belt gi match.
Brad Pearson versus Ty Murphy.
That's a good match. We have a 190-pound black belt no-gi bout.
Brian Nielsen versus Zachary Davis.
190-pound black belt gi match.
Grappling Rewind's own Josh Weinstock versus Colin Stewart.
So, I actually recorded a little piece with Josh that I'm going to cut in probably now. Maybe it's in the segment. You'll figure out when I figure out how to edit it. We have about 4 hours till the show comes out, so I'll figure out where that piece needs to go into. We're going to preview your fight to win. Josh, so Josh is here. This is going to be cut into the show. Hopefully, I'll cut it in so it makes a lot of sense. But we have the pleasure of being joined here by Professor Weinstock, and it pains me every time to say that. He has a match on the Fight to Win Baltimore card versus Colin Studerbart. How do you pronounce his last name?
Colin Stewart.
Okay, Colin Stewart. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit because, A, you're on the card in the black belt section of the card, finally, and this is your first Fight to Win black belt match, and you've trained with Colin before. So I want to talk a little about, like, what are you doing going to the matchup, and then how is it to compete against someone on a professional stage that you've trained with before and trained with for a while now?
I don't know. It's going to be like training, but for money. Like, I don't know, me and Colin were super friendly and had a conversation via Facebook Messenger, and we were both like, I'm cool with it if you're cool with it. So that's pretty much it. Now I'm just training and working out and getting ready to try to win.
What weight class is this at?
190.
That's not too bad for you.
Nope.
You had to get a little less fat though.
I did.
Sweet.
I got lazy for a little while there and turned into a Oompa Loompa.
Dude, you bounce weight like no person I've ever seen.
Well, you know, I try.
Well, you just like, you know, you'll take matches with a guy at 230. You're like, what the fuck? I'm like, okay, 170. You're like, God damn, man, that can't be good for you.
It's not good when I just sit there and turn into a fat blob. So it's better to try to aim low.
Do you know where on the card you are yet?
No, not at all.
You just have no idea. You should show up.
I mean, yeah, pretty much.
Are you at least around 190 right now?
Yeah.
Okay. You say that super confidently.
That's what I do. I had a in-body test today, too, so I know exactly how much water I have on me and all that other stuff and my percentage body fat and muscle weight and things of that nature.
Sweet. All the lights in Josh's house just went off.
No, my wife just turned off all the lights.
Huh. So anything else you want to talk about going into this matchup? Anything else on Baltimore you want to talk about?
I'm going to try to win by wrist lock. Or
you know this comes out before the matchup happens, right?
Yeah, so I'm going to try to win by wrist lock and or win by back crucifix. And I also am going to do an awesome walk in. So
you called
hold
a
on
walk
to your
in?
Tits, Troy Everett.
All right, well, that's all I got, Josh. Anything else you want to add?
No. Look forward to seeing the people that are around the area coming to see it. I look forward to making an asshole of myself as I walk into the match, and then I'm going to try to have a whole lot of fun in the match. And make money, and then continue losing more weight because I have a tournament at 175.
Oh, that's coming
in
up
in 5.5 weeks.
That's coming up. You gotta get your ass down.
Well, good thing I have a meal prep food sponsor, thanks Rule 7, and a gym that is keeping me on track, thanks Athletic Asylum. So you know, just dropping off the LBs and eating good and lifting heavy things and running, which I hate.
Sweet. All right, man, that's all I got. Let me pause this.
And shout out to Colin too, like we trained with him a lot. You know, Maine and I trained him at Baltimore BJJ. He's in a fucking awesome black belt too. Josh is the lovable fucking loudmouth that everyone knows through the podcast, and also fucking great jiu-jitsu black belt.
So I wouldn't go that far. He's all right. He's all right.
It's going to be an exciting match.
This is going to be a great matchup.
You know, we like both of these guys.
And Josh is getting down to 190, and then he's soon getting down to 175. So you get to see a less fat version of Josh, which always makes me happy.
That's right.
We have a 180-pound black belt judo match.
Eduardo Viana versus Christian Terones.
And a 170-pound black belt gi match.
Felipe Linares versus Enrique Galarza.
Dude, back-to-back weeks with Enrique. We have a 160-pound black belt nogi match.
Federico Silva versus Rob Sullivan from Baltimore BJJ. Another former training partner of mine, current training partner of Maine's.
Yep.
Fucking awesome guy, former MMA fighter.
Now retired, he's getting back into grappling. He's like, I don't want to get punched in the face as much anymore, so I'm just going to do professional grappling now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, this is going to be fucking awesome. Rob brings the fucking aggression. He's an MMA fighter and, you know, does not fucking back down.
Doesn't back
anything.
Up. Like, no. There's a great quote from one of the fights. It was the other corners. Like, guy said, yeah, your boy don't back up.
No.
And it's just like, he just goes for it. And like, heavy pressure wrestling. I'm really excited for this. This is the first time I've seen Rob compete in a pro jiu-jitsu event, I think, ever. So I'm super excited. I'm super biased for all the guys on my team.
Yeah, obviously.
Because I watched them, like, compete and train for years. So it's like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
It's cool to see a guy other than Josh on the card.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Next match, we have a 145-pound black belt nogi match.
We got Scott Dance versus Thomas Hutchinson.
We have a 145-pound black belt judo match.
Ernest Ojito versus...
To be announced, we have a 240-pound brown belt no-gi match.
Steven Hardiman versus David Ortiz.
We have a 200-pound brown belt gi match.
Steven Robertson versus Mateo Nunes.
Dude, Mateo Nunes had the bloodiest gi match I've ever seen on Fight to Win 53, one of the first Maryland cards. And I feel the need to talk about that every single time it comes up because it was crazy. It was probably one of the first pro grappling matches that I'd ever seen live. And events that I've ever seen live, and I was like, holy shit, this is wild. So it's always fun. He's been on every Maryland card, I think. We have a 175-pound brown belt gi match.
Angelo Claiborne versus Andre Guas.
Dude, Angelo is a dude to watch. He is always a standout, like, on all the big IBJJF events at brown belt. Like, definitely a dude to watch. We have a 175-pound brown belt gi match.
Kenny Gaudreau versus Todd Levin.
Who else do I know? We have a 165-pound brown belt gi match.
Nicholas First versus Francisco Isada.
Cisco, the MMA fighter.
Aha.
So, the Shogun guy. Yeah.
Okay.
We have a 155-pound brown belt gi match. Former Fight to Win champion Vanessa Griffin versus Jordan Patrick. That should be a good match. 145-pound brown belt gi match. Malachite, the Magic Man, Edmund versus Dan Dykeman. Again, another good match. We have a 135-pound brown belt gi match. Elias Karadag versus Jared Bosk. That should be a good match. I've trained with Elias before. Elias, not Elias. Guy, I see the problem is I have a guy at my gym. It's named Elias, and I fucked up his name for like a year and called him Ellis. And now every time I see Ellis, I mess it up and say it's Elias.
Yeah.
So let's see who else we got. We have a 255-pound purple belt gi match, John Johnson versus David Hill. Who else? Dude, this is a good-ass card.
We have a 180-pound purple belt gi match, Jose Madrazo from Form Jiu-Jitsu versus Paul Lewandowski from Capital MMA. I train with Jose. He's a good fucking friend of mine, and an amazing fucking purple belt. It's
dude, he's done some big stuff with IBJJF. Like, he has...
Dude, Euros,
yep.
Masters Worlds, Pans. He's just
He's medaled and he's won.
He's won, yeah. He's
fucking
a
monster
amazing.
In the Masters division.
Yeah. Like, and, yeah, he's super... Basically, every other weekend, he's traveling to a major fucking tournament.
Yeah, I think he competes and travels more than any other guy that I know that's not, like, a full-time jiu-jitsu guy.
Yeah.
So, good for him. We have 180-pound purple belt no-gi match, Nicholas Wiley versus David Brennan. David Brennan runs Just the Tap, good friend of the show. Again, another guy into professional grappling, kind of like we are.
Hell yeah.
Covers it. They write some real cool articles. Does a lot more analytical articles on, like, they did one which was like what rule set fosters the best submission percentages, and he's done a bunch of cool articles on the website. Highly recommend you go check it out. Just the tap BJJ is what it is under, because Just the Tap is a beer website, I think. So okay. We have 175-pound purple belt gi match, Stephen Wilkinson versus David Norton. Stephen Wilkinson is the guy that had fight of the night, I think, one or two cards ago for the purple belts. He just kept throwing the scissor takedown over and over and over again, eventually gets the heel hook, so it'd be fun to see him on the card again. Again, so many other good grapplers. It's weird. There's like three or four guys that I've competed against on this card, and it's weird to see, like, they come back to a local market and like, oh shit, I competed against him.
140-pound teen no-gi match, Enzo Yamazaki of Yamazaki Academy versus Evan Howarth. So I wonder if it sounds like he's related to the family.
Related to the Yamazakis. Dude, we have 132-pound purple belt gi match, Rico Stanton, Flash, versus Tadaya Danforth. We've seen Rico on almost every card, looking great. We've seen Tadaya, I think, on every card for Fight to Win that's come to Maryland. The first card ever I watched him, he hit like a flying triangle, like super quick out the gate, and I was like, oh, I'm watching this dude. So, again, I cannot say enough good things about how I am for this card. I highly recommend you watch it. If you are at the event, look for the assholes in the Grappling Rewind shirt. That's me. We're going to have Austin there. We're going to have Ryan there. Talk to us about jiu-jitsu, about your match. More than happy to talk to anyone. Again, can't say how much I love these events. Josh is going to be there competing. So, like, you know, he's honestly usually really friendly, like, right before his match. Yeah. And, like, give him, like, 15 minutes before his match. But, like, he'll be around being Josh, looking less fat. So, I'm super excited about this.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. So, also happening on April 20th, the Sub-Stars event is happening at the Tank Brewery in Miami, Florida. There's a couple cool grapplers on this event. I'm not sure if it's streamed yet, but hopefully it is, because there's some cool grapplers on this event. We're looking at...
Enrique Coco's on it.
Yep. Let's see. Valdir Arujo is on it as well. There's a bunch of other guys that are on the card as well. Again, I'm looking for a streaming platform for this, but I haven't found one yet. So they're at sub.stars on Instagram if you try to find more information about them. If anyone does know if the event is streaming, please let us know, because I'd like to watch some of the matches. All right, so that pretty much does it for this week's show. What'd you think of last week's show, Emil?
Yo, I just love coming down to record this podcast and finding a small fucking tome of notes that Austin left that are super meticulous. They're like beautifully written, like handwritten page notes that are highlighted. So he wrote and then highlighted them afterwards and took more notes on his notes.
Dude, he's good.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't quite know how to rein me in yet, because we had a 2.5-hour show last week and all the guys in the chat were like, yo, Austin, you've got to learn how to, like, rein main the fuck in, because he'll just talk.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, like, Austin has fucking great insight to, like, talk about, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
his the amount of focus that he puts on, you know, strength and conditioning, things like that, getting his perspective on jiu-jitsu is fucking dope, too, you know, and, like...
I thought he'd be a good fit.
Oh,
and,
100%.
And everyone, I was like, yeah, bring him on. Yeah, he's good as fuck.
Yeah.
And so I hope that came across last week. Again, the episode did really well, so I hope it came across last week, but it's cool to, like... I mean, I was like, I'm out for a week. It's like, who can I get on? Austin's really fucking good.
Austin's fucking
Let's
great.
Let's get him.
So, he's also an amazing grappler, too, so...
Dude, he's good.
Yeah, yeah, he's very good.
So I'm happy you like the show.
Yeah.
Everyone else on the staff has learned how to rein me in. Austin will soon learn how to be like... Everyone on the show, everyone that can't see this, when I start speaking too much, the co-host on that show, whoever it is that week, will give me the wrap it the fuck up, like hand signal, which is like your finger goes out and you roll it in a circle, which is wrap it the fuck up, man, which is like, we've been talking about this too long, go to the next piece. And Austin has not learned how to do that yet.
Yep, well, he'll learn. He's fucking great. His analysis was awesome. His insights were really fucking good. Yeah. So
I think it was a really good show. I'm happy.
Love going back and listening to, like, you know, I love being on the podcast. When I step away, I love listening to the podcast. You know, I also listen to it when I'm on it, but it's not the same. You know, it's like listening to yourself, but listening to you or Josh or Austin or Ryan, like, give just fucking amazing, hilarious insights that are completely different from what I'd be looking at. That's why,
like, bringing different guys, getting it doesn't make you get burned out, but it also, like, it gives people a different perspective to listen to, where it's like Austin's gonna pick up on stuff that other guys on the team aren't gonna pick up with. Yeah. I'm gonna pick on stuff that you're not gonna pick up. It's cool. So it's like we've kind of tried to build a team here that all provides, like, good analysis but also, like, disparate analysis. Like, each person, I think there's no one on the team that plays a similar game, honestly.
We all have different, like
pretty substantially different games, pretty substantially different outlooks on, like, competing and, like, what we do.
Favorite grapplers and things like that. Yeah. You know, at least between everyone not named Josh together, we might have the mind of a shitty black belt. But, you know.
That's pretty reasonable. I mean, you and Ryan are both pretty good. Now, Austin,
Ryan is worlds better than me.
You know what I realized?
Ryan is fucking incredible.
What I just realized now is I'm probably the shittiest grappler on the show.
No. I knew you were going to say that. I'm definitely the shittiest. You compete all the time, and you fucking medal.
My back's fucking broke.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right now, in this very moment, you are definitely the worst fucking grappler out of us.
I can't tie my shoes right now, man.
When your back heals and your leg heals, you will go back to being one of the best.
Oh, man. I'm going to PT and, like, healing it up. Dude, it's been healing so slow. I figured out how to sleep. Like, I started sleeping with, like, a back, like, a pillow under my back with my knees elevated up on pillows and no pillow under my head, and it's helped out a lot, but I'm still like, I just want to not be in pain every day.
Yeah,
that would be dope if I just wake up like, fuck, everything hurt, not even anything hurts, my leg hurts really bad. Yeah. And then go to work, it's like, it just sucks. Like, this has been since fucking November. I'm just like, hey, your leg hurts all the time. I'm like, if we could stop that, that would be great. But I'm going in, I think, in 2 weeks to the orthopedic surgeon, and we're going to talk about, like, a cortisone injection into my back, because I think we've got to that point where it's like, it's time to take a little more aggressive measures than just, like, stretch and, like, PT and, like, do exercise. So, yeah, hopefully that turns out well. Hopefully I get to avoid surgery, which should be dope at however the fuck old I am. So that's my hope, but hopefully I can eventually train this year, because it's been a pretty shitty, like, 11 months for me. To end this show on a super fucking downer note, I'm still happy. I love doing the show. I just wish I could train. I'm still coaching, though, so I still get to yell at college students 3 days a week,
which
is awesome.
Yeah, yelling at fucking college slimes is the best fucking pastime.
We had a scrimmage with another local area college,
oh, sweet.
And it went great because they brought, like, 15 guys, and then three of our guys got sick, so we had, like, five guys.
Oh, shit.
So we had two women, and the other club had one woman. The other club had 13 or 14 men, and we had three men. And so I was like, what's up, guys? You're going to go a lot. And they were like, what? I was like, get ready. And then I couldn't coach them because I had to ref it, which is super not biased at all. And I was like, look. And even Rachel, because she was doing the matchups, because she knows the both teams a little bit, and she kind of, like, make a match more fair. I told my guys, I was like, look, you're going to have to establish the fuck out of a position to get points. I'm going to count slow as shit. And Rachel, after, she was like, yo, you were really slow to give points sometimes. I was like, only slow to give points to my guys because I told them ahead of time just so that I'm not biased. Like,
well, no, you're biased against them.
I'm
biased. Yeah.
Dude, look, you got to get points. And I was like, one of them looked at me like, I was like, 1, 2, 3, 4. And I give them out points. They're like, fuck, I've been in mount like 8 seconds. So, yeah, it's been good. I get to coach still, and I still get to, like, yell at college students. So it's still good doing the show, but I would like to train again in the near future.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope you do too.
Me too. I would love to train together again.
All right.
So that does it for this week on the show. As always, I'm your host, Maine.
I'm Emil.
And we are the Grappling Rewind. We'll see you on the mat. If you like the show, please consider sharing it on Facebook with the folks at your gym. It's the best way that we grow the show, and we really appreciate it. You can reach out to us on email.
We also have Instagram. We have Facebook. We have Twitter. We have Google Plus.
Until that shuts down.
We have a website.
If you have an event you would like to have us cover, please let us know. If you have a name, like most people do, and you'd like to have us stop butchering it,
let us know.
Reach out to us. The show is also available on YouTube, Spotify, in addition to iTunes and every other podcast service. We very much appreciate your time, and thank you.